Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up their voices, and the skies pound their
victory. Jesus, thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are igniting each one of us, and that we can say we are a fellowship of burning hearts. And so I pray now that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been in a series, and this is week three. The series started at the beginning of the year, and it's something that I want to walk us through, and we'll take as much time as we need to get through this. I'm actually pleasantly surprised at how it's unfolding. I thought maybe it would be a five-week series, but it's turning out that it might be more like 10 or 12, which is great. And the series is entitled Putting God First, and we have five different categories of life that we want to consider. We want to ask some questions. We want to just allow the Holy Spirit to take a personal inventory of our own hearts and see where we're at as far as putting God first in these particular categories of our life. And the first one was our spiritual life. And we find that interesting since, of course, we're here at church, and many of us, this is a very important part of our life. And yet to ask the questions about God being first, even in our spiritual life, may seem a little bit, just not really making a ton of sense. But if you were to go back onto our podcast and listen, you'll see that there's some very deep and subtle ways that we can drift from having God first, even in our spiritual practices, even in what we would call our faith journey or our religion. And so one of the beautiful descriptors for religion that I've discovered recently that I'm actually okay with, and it lines itself up with even doing a Good Friday gathering, where we might adopt some ways of the liturgical church, or we might adopt some ideas that come from an ancient way of doing the Christian faith, is like this. It's like anything that we create in the way of liturgy, in the way of form, in the way of gathering even, whether it's mega or micro or in a house or in a building, whatever form we find most comfortable and fitting for us in our stage, in our walk with Jesus, look at that like the bowl and realize that what we're really coming to is the water within the bowl. Like life in the Spirit, the life of Christ, is the water. It's the living water. And so we can actually explore various forms and various ways as long as we don't grow so loyal to the bowl and worship the bowl, right? So that being said, exploring ways that we can put God first in our spiritual life has a little bit to do with all that. So you might want to visit that on our podcast. The second life category is finances. And then we have relationships, we have our play, and then we have our work. And so today I'm starting on part two, which is our finances. And I think this, for me personally, it's had to require me to wrestle a bit. There's so much about Christendom and modern America and finances that I find actually kind of like a bit of a minefield. And there's some tripwires. And I'm okay, tripping on a few things. It's all right. Like I said, I want to speak from my heart and not from my head, because really the whole reason for this series has to do with the encouragement of Jesus that tells us to build our house on the rock, on the bedrock of truth, on the bedrock of just his ways. And that's going to require us to do some digging down to it, removing some of that sandy stuff, the shifting sands, as it were, of maybe wrong ideas, misled philosophies, world thought, you know, whatever that is, it's not good ground to be building your life on. And so Jesus is encouraging us, as you put me first in all of these areas of your life, what you're really doing is building your house on the solid rock. And so I think that getting to the fundamental truths that we can stand on when it comes to every area of our life, including our money, is going to help us, because the promise in Jesus' encouragement is that there will be storms, the winds will blow, the rains will come, and the wise person who has done the work of building their lives on the solid bedrock, their life is not going to fall with calamity. All right? And so that's the encouragement that really at the heart of this message, even the message about our finances, it has to do with the blessings of God for us. It has to do with the safeguards. It has to do with the fact that God is all about this in our lives, because Jesus actually spoke more about money than most everything. Do you realize that? And so there's some things that Jesus wants to share with us. And I think there's probably three main categories that I'm going to approach when it comes to this topic of putting God first in our finances. And the first one would be that, just this truth, like, can we get a hold of this idea that God wants us to manage our finances with giving in our heart? So that would be one truth. The second truth is that God wants to provide for us in abundance. There's a truth. And the third one is that God wants us to be free from the spirit of mammon. And if we could circle around those three things over the next couple of weeks, I think we'll land in some really healthy places, personally and as a fellowship. So to start with, let me just say that this is all God's idea. Like, God invented generosity. Like, giving is his idea. If we were to take that first category of God wants us to manage our finances with giving in our hearts, we understand that this was God's idea. And the other dynamic to this is he actually doesn't need our money. And so we have this sort of question of, okay, well, what's the importance of this? And I realize that even as I'm sharing this, that I'm sharing this to a room full of people who have been generously giving, some of you, for decades. And so for many of us, this is a healthy reminder, kind of a reorientation perhaps. For some of us, this might be so new that it might bring awesome reformation to our attitudes, to our approaches to money, to just the ways that we think about money. It might liberate us from some deep-seated fears. It might liberate us from the lack that maybe you find yourself in. It might bring you into new fields of possibility and abundance. It might just really do that for you, all right? And so I'm hoping that every single one of us will have some encouragement and some real benefit from not only listening to what Jesus teaches about money, but applying them. Okay, and if you remember the whole thing about building your house on the rock versus the sand, it says, the one who hears my word and applies it, that is the wise person. So the application aspect is huge for us, okay? So why is giving such a big deal throughout the scriptures? I think there's two reasons. I think that, number one, nothing pushes out greed and selfishness out of our hearts like giving sacrificially. You know, I think that one of the reasons why God makes such a clear distinction and a clear point about I want you to give is so that stuff can get worked out in our own hearts, all right? God knows what evil lurks inside of greed. I mean, he's the one who said the love of money is the root of much evil, right? I mean, so he understands that unless this stuff gets worked out, unless we actually take inventory and allow the Holy Spirit to search us when it comes to our attitudes about money, we run the risk of deceiving ourselves, of justifying behavior that's not appropriate when it comes to our finances. So that's one thing. So I believe that while, you know, there has been much evil that has come through the love of money, I think the opposite is true. God knows what good comes from generosity. Even our physical bodies are designed to respond to this. I mean, your brains release a hefty dose of dopamine every time you give. You realize this, right? So we are created to give. It's good for us. And I think the second reason why giving is such a big deal throughout Scripture is, while God doesn't need our money, orphans and widows and the poor and the Levites, they do, right? And so that being said, our ability as a community to join together and to meet the needs of people, this is really at the heart of God. Like, he really likes it when a community of people gather together and meet the needs of the community. It's on his heart. This is where we can easily jump off of the page of money and simply talk about giving. You realize that a lot of Sundays we're talking about giving, even though the word money never actually comes up. I mean, the ability for a community to join together to meet the needs of its people, I mean, this is what it means to be the body of Christ. As the church, we understand that Jesus is our head and he's the head of the church, right? So we are the various parts of his body. Each one of us has a unique design, a gift mix, an ability to give of ourselves for the sake of others. And when we do this in unity, we collectively represent the heart of Jesus for a people, for a city, for our larger community, as it were. And so we know that our faith and our love is never intended to simply be word and thought, right? Jesus is very clear, the scriptures are very clear, that when you talk about faith and when you talk about love and when you talk about being the body, it's going to come down to a place of action. It's going to come down to a place of actually expressing itself through good works. And so this is all about giving, giving of ourselves in ways that are very tangible. Here we are, we're talking about putting God first in our finances. And by doing that, putting God first in our finances, we're actually serving him with our hearts. And this is a really beautiful dynamic. We know that Jesus tells us a lot about treasures, about our treasures. Well, I want to just actually take a minute to look through some scriptures. And so Matthew 6 would be the first one. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. Matthew 6, 19. Jesus tells us not to store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I don't believe Jesus is telling us not to invest, not to own anything of value. I don't think he's saying that. I believe just as he asked the rich young ruler to sell all of his riches and give to the poor, Jesus wants to speak to the heart of the matter when it comes to storing up for yourselves things on the earth. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. You know, we could actually go to Matthew 19. Jesus knew the rich young ruler had kept all of the commandments from his youth. And so listen to what Jesus tells him in Matthew 19, verse 21. Jesus says, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Now, this is Jesus' answer to the young man's question of, what good can I do to enter into the kingdom of heaven? And this was Jesus' response to this rich young ruler. And Jesus' response actually shook the man's confidence because it cut to the core of this man's identity. Can anyone relate to the bottom dropping out of your confidence when you find yourself in financial need? Right. It kind of gets to us in this sense of, I would say that one of the quickest ways for the enemy to discourage me personally, there's two. One is for him to mess with my family, and the other is for him to mess with my finances. And I would say when those two things are messed with, the wind gets knocked out of my sails pretty quick. And so what I've been on a journey of is finding my confidence apart from the financial like sense of security. And I would say that's pretty much at the heart of it for me. And I know it was probably at the heart of it for this rich young ruler. He had lots of things that Jesus was asking him to sell. And I would imagine that so much of his identity had been grounded, or that would be like the sand that he had built his life on, right? The riches that he had. And Jesus is saying, actually, I want you to sell those. I want you to remove that sand. Come and follow me. Let your life now be grounded on the firm foundation of the bedrock of who I am for you. That's at the heart of it. So as a side note, there's a bigger lesson in all of this with the rich young ruler, and it was actually a lesson for his disciples. And it's not so much about giving, but rather attaining eternal life. The rich young ruler asks, what good can I do to inherit eternal life? So this is a bit of a side note. And Jesus begins the conversation actually by confronting this man's self-righteous paradigm. That there would be some good that he could do to secure his eternal standing with God. He actually, you know, confronts that, Jesus does. And when his disciples witness this exchange between Jesus and the rich young ruler, even their confidence cratered a bit. In verse 24, it says this, again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, well, then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. We take that verse that all things are possible with God, and maybe we draw it and we apply it to a different context, but the context that it was originally spoken is the context of eternal security with God. It is impossible for anyone in their own self-righteousness and their own capacity to do good, to have a right standing with God and to enter into the eternal kingdom. Basically, that's what bookends this entire thing here, right? So again, that was a side note. And just, just for the record, camels can actually pass through the eye of a needle. Do you guys know this? Many of you have heard this, that around the city is a wall, and that wall has big gates that are open during the day. And at night, those gates are closed. And there's a small door. And that was what was referred to as the eye of the needle. And so if someone was outside the gate and they wanted to come into the city wall and the gate had been closed, but the only thing open was the door, then the camel actually had to get down on its knees. Like the master had to actually get the camel down on its knees to get through the small door. So it's not impossible for a camel, just like it's not impossible for a rich person to come into the kingdom, but it requires, I love the picture there, it's just this humility and a surrender to the master. And I think that's at the core of this when it comes to our finances. And we're going to look at this just a little bit further. So that being said, a rich person can enter the kingdom of heaven, sure, as long as humility rules their hearts and they have a confidence not in their wealth, but rather in God. That's the bottom line with this. So it gives a little perspective on Jesus' teaching about serving God or money. And this is found in Matthew 6. So if you want to turn to Matthew 6, verse 24, again, it's a pretty familiar passage to a lot of us. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now that word money there, as you know, and some of you might have a King James Version or a New King James Version. In the original language of the Aramaic, the word money there is mammonus. And that's where we get the word mammon. And of course, we know that if you were to go and look at the definition of that, it would say wealth. But actually, if you dig pretty deep into the original language of the Aramaic, the word confidence is there. And so it's actually confidence and then this idea about wealth personified. So there's this way of looking at mammon where it's about kind of a spirit, attitude, a way of doing life where you find your confidence in your wealth and money, which is what Jesus confronted with the rich young ruler. And that wealth could be personified. In other words, that our identities, the way that we project ourselves into this world through that prestige or through that status or whatever it might be, we find our identity in that. And so that's what Jesus is saying. You can't serve that and God at the same time. It's one or the other, bottom line. You're going to end up hating one or the other. Now, I don't think Jesus is saying, you know, hate money. I don't think he's saying that at all. What he's saying there is hate this idea that you could find your confidence in your wealth. Hate this idea that you can be wealth personified and that you can establish an identity in that. We're going to talk more about God's desire for us to be free from the influence of mammon as we move through this next week. Suffice it to say that, you know, God has given us the greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so again, he came up with this because of his great love for us. He knows what good things await those who choose to submit to his ways and to build their house on the bedrock of his truth and allow their attitudes, you know, really the attitudes of our hearts to be transformed. And so I want to just share a couple of stories. You guys okay with the stories? They actually have to do with this fellowship, and they have to do with money, and they have to do with the board of directors, who is really a finance committee that oversees the finances of this fellowship. And there have been a few people that have been faithfully serving in that capacity for many years. Dave Kiesling is one, Melanie Havner is another, and Cam McRoberts has been one for many years. And Cam has respectfully stepped down from that position as of the beginning of this year because of all the other things that he has his hands in, and, you know, incredibly honored that he would serve in that capacity for so long, and I bless him for just that act of service to this fellowship. And in his place, then, Duncan Harding has chosen to come on and be a part of that board. It's really solid people, and I'm really blessed that, you know, every quarter we look through the budget, we revamp our budget quarterly depending on the trend of the last 3 months. And we want our budget to reflect what's actual. There's this dynamic in Christendom, you know, where we have this like reality, and then we have this what could possibly be, you know, in faith. And so we actually decide that while we want to continually believe God for more and for increase, that we want to set our budget on what's actual. And so we do that quarterly. So about 9 years ago, some of you were here, this fellowship, we hit a low spot in our finances. And I had actually experienced a decrease in the compensation that I was receiving from the board. And even saying that word compensation, like there wasn't something sitting right with that about 10 years ago, 9 years ago. And so there was this, you know, just a real need. If you guys remember, that was like 2008. You remember 2008? Not so great when it came to our money. And we were staring at a deficit, actually. We didn't want to be in debt. And I can say that this fellowship is not in debt. We owe no person. We owe nothing. We own this building free and clear. And we own the property across there and back here. And that park over there. And so we are richly blessed. We've inherited this property from the people who have worked and served for the last 63 years as part of this fellowship. Can we just celebrate that? I mean, that's pretty awesome. I mean, that's pretty awesome. So about 9 years ago, we found ourselves with like $600 in the bank. And we were staring at some obligations. And we met as a board and we're like, God, what do you want us to do with this? Like, do you want us to send out letters? Do you want us to meet with people? Do you want us to bang the drum? You know, what do you want us to do? I mean, we can put the word out that we have this tremendous need. And we had a time of listening prayer as a board. And we felt like this is what the Lord was telling us to do. Go to the bank, get $600 in cash in $20 bills, bring it next Sunday, give it to everybody who shows up at church, and tell them to spend the week praying about how they can give it away. Just give it all away. Give it all away. Are you sure that's you, God? Yes, give it all away. Okay, we'll give it all away. And so we did that. How many of you were here when that happened? It's good times, right? And so the money went, and we didn't need a report of where it went. We didn't actually want to know. We just were like, we trust you to just give it away. And I can say over almost the last 10 years, the upward trajectory of financial health that this fellowship has experienced has been consistently increasing. Consistently. I mean, amazing. So that's really awesome. So that's the one story. The next story has to do with just a few months ago. I came off sabbatical, and here we were, you know, we're looking at our finances as a board. I'm coming back, and hey, let's have a board meeting. And I get reports from our bookkeeper, who's a third party. You know, she doesn't come to this fellowship. She knows us as a fellowship. She loves what God's doing here, and she's a tremendous gift. And she sent us a weekly report of the finances. She's like, look, I've paid the payroll. I've paid all this stuff. And we have an electric bill that we can't pay. It's like $380 or whatever it was. And so we went to our board meeting and we're like, wow, didn't see that coming. And okay, what are we going to do about it? Well, why don't we just pray and we'll just ask the Lord, what should we do? And while we were actually getting ready for the board meeting, the Lord was already stirring something in Tiffany and I. And let me just pause here and let me just share that by me telling you this story, it's no way a pump up for me. Like, this is just an example of listening and obeying, right? Because what I felt like the Lord reminded Tiffany and I of, and we were in this totally together, was, look, about 8 years ago, there was a major reformation in how you approach the finances that come to you through New Covenant. You were no longer, and this was something that we had set as a board, and I was in total agreement with. It was like, you are no longer receiving a salary. You're no longer receiving compensation for your work here, like a hireling. You can receive an honorarium, and it can be up to this amount every month, as funds allow. Now, what had happened a couple of months ago was, because it had been this upward trajectory and everything had been healthy, we hadn't had to address this. Now, all of a sudden, we have this obligation to the electric company, but a check had been cut to me just a couple of days before that. And so Tiffany and I were like, that money's not ours. That money belongs to the electric company. As funds allow. Well, they didn't allow for me to get it all. And so I told that to the board, and actually I was happy that they weren't objecting to the fact that Tiffany and I wanted to write a check for the exact amount for that electric bill. Now, here's the interesting part. The next morning, I write an email to our bookkeeper, and I was like, hey, honest oversight, we haven't had to deal with this ever since we implemented this, but we're having to deal with it now. Remember, it's as funds allowed. Thanks for writing me the check that you normally write for me this month, but we're going to have to reduce that, so I'm giving you a check for the difference so we can pay the electric bill. She's like, well, funny thing happened was this morning I went to the bank, and you guys got a check in the mail, and it's not past due anyway. It's due next week, and so it's covered. Okay, so I write the board, and I'm like, hey, this is what happened. They're like, tear up the check. Keep the money. So I was like, you sure? They're like, yeah, absolutely. It's as funds allowed. We have the money. Let's do it. So tore the check up, and it felt a little bit like that Abraham Isaac thing, you know? Like, okay, good test. Way to go. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And then Cam came up here. You remember that time that Cam came up here a couple months ago? And he's like, let's remember all the good things that God's done this year, the great things that we've experienced as a fellowship over the last year in 2017. Oh, and by the way, you know, we had a little scare this week. We didn't know if we could actually pay the electric bill. Do you guys remember that? Some of you were here. Some of you weren't. But let me just tell you this, that in the last month and a half since that happened, there has been such increase coming into this fellowship that we are at the same place we've been at our zenith. It's incredible. Now, what's the point of me telling you all these stories? God's serious about this. Number one, it gets to the heart. And he pays attention to things that we promise. He wants our commitments to be followed through on. And he also recognizes that giving is a threshold for us. It's like putting your hand on the latch of a door that opens you into a whole new space. And I think giving, it can be reduced to a law within the church. It can be reduced to everything that is not. Giving is a privilege, and giving is a response of our hearts for the blessings that God has poured out into our lives. And that may sound like an opinion, but I have tremendous scriptures to back this up, and they're not all Old Testament. So just understand that this has been on the heart of God for millennium, and we are a part of this story, and we get to experience an incredible blessing from God as, you know, fear and greed and selfishness gets worked out and pushed out of our hearts as we respond to the Holy Spirit leading us in some pretty creative ways sometimes on how we're going to give, how we're going to express an aspect of God's generosity through our lives to other people. And so I want to leave you with that. That's where I'll end it today. And I hope that was an encouragement for you. So let me just pray, and I'll ask God to seal this word and to seal our time together. So Jesus, thank you so much for what you have in store for us. Thank you that you've set it in your heart that we should be people who reflect you. And you're the most giving. You're the most generous. You're extravagant. In fact, I would say that you're reckless with how giving you are. And so thank you for that. Thank you for all the ways that you've given to us. Thank you that our hearts are made to respond and that we can be generous. And Lord, thank you that as we make you first in our finances, it's not just about giving. And there's more aspects to this related to you helping us manage our affairs, stewarding what you've given to us. And so I ask, Lord, in the next week or two as we navigate through this, that you would seal this by your Holy Spirit and that there would be no room for the enemy to come in and wreak havoc. There's a tremendous spiritual warfare around all of this. And so I just pray now in the name of Jesus for your blood to stand as a wall of separation between us and any foul spirit, between us and any lie that would want to come against your truth. And so I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.